Ready, set, go!
This is the Checkpoint XP Podcast. Check out our international radio show and daily podcast at checkpointxp.com. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to the Checkpoint XP Podcast on B-Pod Studios, the place to be for podcast discovery. Exclusive, uncensored, and extended conversations from the nationally syndicated crew of the Checkpoint XP radio show. My name's Nate Bender. I'm joined by a truncated Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis,
and, what up, though?
And Norris Howard.
You already know, man. Let's boss up and get this money.
So, usually we like to start this show off with some iTunes reviews.
Let me guess.
There are none.
Asshole.
Yeah. It's Fail. Disappointing.
You know what it is? Is because we've taken so long, you know, to really kind of get back, you know,
to doing the show.
Yeah. I think people have fallen out of.
Well, you know what? If they like the show so much, they should have been bombarding us with reviews about bring it back, come back, where'd the show go?
Yeah, that's, you know what? That's a really good point.
That is a very good point.
It's a really good point. I think we may have conceded to the demands of a very vocal few.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, maybe that damn vocal few needs to get back in reviews.
That's right.
And tell us how happy they are for it to be back.
That's right. Go prove us wrong by leaving us some reviews on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, whatever you want to call it. And let us open up the show properly, because this is supposed to be like the first third of the show is, you know, reading your iTunes reviews and stuff like that. But we're not able to do that.
Nope.
So Joe's not joining us this week.
Yeah.
Because he decided to take vacation time.
What's that?
I don't know. I don't know.
Of all of us who does not know the meaning of vacation, it is Nate.
Oh, and remember when Joe left, the thing he was most excited about was the place that he's going has plumbing.
Yes, that was his. That was the most exciting thing he had to say about.
Spiritually,
it.
He is so old.
So old. Well, but in the spirit of Joe, taking vacation and going all the way out to Wisconsin.
Should we just take the rest of the podcast?
No. I see where you're going with that, but no,
I like it.
No. Since he's gone to Wisconsin to go to something as silly as a Renaissance festival, I don't know why you have to.
We
drive.
Already have one here.
I don't know why you have to drive three states away to go to something that already exists here. I've got a question for you guys.
Okay.
What is the farthest you've ever traveled to go to something as trivial as?
Oh, to go to somewhere trivial.
Yeah, as trivial as where Joe is going.
Ooh,
this weekend.
That's a tough question, man.
For me, because
I don't do trivial travel.
I don't know like how far the distance would have been. Nothing out of state. But for a movie, like there's not really that big of a difference
really,
between like, IMAX and a normal movie.
The Chicago Anime Con that you went to? Not C2E2.
ASEN?
ASEN. Yeah.
I think that was more for the people that I met than the convention itself.
Well, sure, but he's going, I'm sure, for the people he's going to meet.
No,
he's not.
You went to an anime. You're going to defend going to an anime convention. We have one here.
Listen,
we have one here.
The one there was bigger.
Doesn't matter.
But was it more hyper?
What is that?
Was it more
hyper?
No. Was it more hyper? And were the cosplayers of a higher echelon? And was the drinking better?
Was it worth going for the convention itself? It was not.
Yeah. See, it there we not. Go. Bingo.
Okay, I got one.
You traveled to Chicago to go to something
that
as dumb as Joe is going to that you could have gone to.
Okay,
here.
I'll say this.
I wasn't going for the event, though.
I get it. But if you were going to meet people, you would have met more permanent people.
No. Not going to meet like people in general, right?
Person.
We had a group of friends.
Yeah.
And we didn't get to see them any other way because they weren't going to Yomacon that year.
Then you don't see those friends.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wouldn't say. The moral of this story is that Nate thinks friends are trivial.
Well, yes, that's true.
Okay.
But we've always
out of state
that.
Friends. Out of state friends. Those are not friends.
We've
those
always
are acquaintances.
Known. I just realized.
Someone will love you someday.
Myself and my best friend, we drove to DC to go to a soccer match. And it was Barcelona against Manchester United. And it was The first time I seen Lionel Messi in person in real life, it was great, and it was an emotional moment, but it was a match that ultimately didn't matter because it was just a friendly, and it, I only saw him play the first half.
So, yeah.
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 Pretty trivial.
I drove to Chicago for Riot Fest to see a bunch of bands. To see a bunch of bands that I objectively didn't want to go see.
I only wanted to see one band.
I'm getting to that.
All right.
Getting to that. I only wanted to see one band.
That's pretty stupid.
Yeah. I spent all the money.
Pretty stupid.
All the gas.
Yeah.
But it was awesome. I enjoyed it. And then, the other one, going all the way out to Washington for Twin Peaks Fest. However, I think I can defend this.
Why? Because they had a table full of donuts?
No, because this was a meet and greet opportunity with 2/3 of the entire cast, like the reoccurring cast, not just like random people.
Did you meet Lynch himself?
No, Lynch was not there.
I
will tell you a moment that had me freak out, though. So I did meet a lot of the cast members of the show. Also got to go to a lot of the filming locations. That's not something objectively that you could do here.
Yeah, so I wouldn't call that trivial because you can't do it here.
Right.
Right?
It's not true. There's only one place in the world that I could have gone.
I could have waited
like
2 years because Barcelona is playing this month in Ann Arbor, and I could have saw Lionel Messi, and it says that he's going to play at least 60 minutes, and I wouldn't have had to drive all the way to fucking Washington, D.C.
That's
so,
fair.
So, see, so now, are you now going to see it?
No,
I'm broke.
there's no Michigan convention that's going to bring 17 different actors and actresses from Twin Peaks. Maybe there's one or two. I know because San Diego Comic-Con had one or two a few weeks before Twin Peaks Fest, and it was kind of cool to be like, hey, I'll see you in a couple weeks at Twin Peaks Fest. And then I did. You know what I mean? Like, hey, we had a moment where I was like, oh, it's you. Yeah.
Yeah. This is the same guy that when other people meet celebrities, he's like, that's not a big deal. They're just people. Who cares about meeting celebrities?
I don't get starstruck either. That's not a real thing.
Yeah. I wasn't starstruck. We legitimately had a connection.
Was it special or was it trivial?
It was special.
Twin Peaks Fest is not trivial because you can only do that in those places.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
An anime convention happens a dime a dozen, okay?
Yeah,
you can go anywhere
special.
For that. That's not special.
I have one that takes place within a $6 Uber ride of my place that I won't go to.
Six.
Yeah, it's about a $6 Uber ride down.
Yeah, in clear traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah, in clear traffic.
Yeah, like off-peak hours?
No, I was gonna say...
Peak hours, that triples.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah.
If you're lucky.
Surged.
That's on the low side.
Sorry, if you don't understand how surge pricing works, I have no sympathy for you.
Yeah. No, I mean, I wouldn't pay
none
more than
whatsoever.
$6
whatsoever.
First
but
of
I,
all,
listen, I've spent the point is I have spent lots of money on trivial things. Everyone does this.
Yes.
But Joe is especially stupid because Renaissance Festival, really?
Plumbing though.
But plumbing, eh.
That's stupid.
You know what? You know what? Hold it.
Like everybody else.
Like Phoenix Wright?
Hold it like everyone else does at the Michigan Renaissance Festival until you drive home.
Just
hold it until you get home.
It's a Ren Fest. It's in the woods. What, people don't just go pee in the woods?
Yeah, but like the shit would be gross.
Yeah, and it's not in the woods the way that you're thinking. Like, you just take a step to the left and now
yeah,
you're
at least
crying.
Go to the Holly Red Fest once before you
No, I don't know how it works.
You don't know how it works.
I'm thinking, is it like a meadow that is surrounded by a wooded area, or is it a fairground?
It is a permanent location.
It is a fairground.
Yes. Well.
I mean, I guess
well.
Because they don't build it every year. That stuff is permanently there. It is a... it's like a small medieval city, man.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool, actually.
It is.
Did you know that people squat it when it's off-season?
That does not surprise me.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But anyway, we are not here to talk about that.
Correct. Good tangent. Good way to eat up 10 minutes, Nate. I appreciate that.
No, actually, perfectly honest.
Tell everyone here what we are going to talk about, and then we're going to take a break.
Yeah. So what we are here to talk about is over at ESPN Sports, there's a really neat article that I came across.
Stop. It is not ESPN Sports because there's...
Sorry, eSports. You're right. Sorry. ESPN
Sports.
an article
weather.
By Tyler Erzberger called The Crossover, NBA Stars Dish on Their Love of Video Games. We're going to talk about NBA stars and what games they love.
That's all cool. Right. Tyler's good people.
Cool. Well, that's going to be coming up next here on the Checkpoint XP Podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP,
esports and gaming radio.
CheckpointXP.com.
All right, we're back here on the Checkpoint XP podcast from B-Pod Studios. We appreciate you hanging out. By the way, this show may go through a name change here in a little bit, but this show is dedicated to talking about all things esports and gaming lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, the things that are kind of adjacent to esports and video games that, you know, people who play video games would care about.
Not
you
a
know?
Lot of X's and O's. If
That's
you
right.
Some of the more sort of in-depth meta-type discussions. We have stuff like low team damage, which
yep.
is the meta discussion in deep dive into Overwatch and the Overwatch League. We have our daily podcast, Checkpoint XP Daily, which also is more about the industry and the news of gaming and esports,
yep.
as well as a litany of other offerings.
And if you think there are too many male opinions in the industry, then Not Your Player 2 with Christine and Sarah is the one you're going to want to check out.
That's right.
That's right. So we've got a full offering of podcasts to check out, bpodstudios.com or at checkpointxp.com. But on this show, we're all about living that XP life. So
XP life.
That's right. Let's talk about these NBA players and their love of video games, because I think that this is something that we're starting to see a whole lot more. You know, professional athletes that you know have an interest in games.
Well.
Yeah, you know, and we've talked about this before when it comes to you know different you know baseball clubhouses banning Fortnite,
exactly, yeah.
stuff like that.
And
you know, the Vancouver Canucks, I think, had a big problem with
about,
this.
Yeah, you can't play games in your hotel room.
And that's one of the reasons that this particular story kind of caught my interest was
sure.
the NBA. It seems to be a completely different ball game. That was on purpose. I'm going to take it. And now that the more that I'm thinking of it, it kind of makes sense because NBA and like NBA 2K, they're obviously...
Don't throw
things. I can see why you into radio and not sports.
It was my left hand.
But I can understand why. I mean, when you look at NBA and NBA 2K, they seem to be the sport in the league that has really gone, like, you know, sort of whole hog into gaming and whatnot, right?
Sure.
Isn't every single... Almost every single team in the NBA represented in NBA.
Just
say,
about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
pretty close. It's nowhere near, you know, I think it's like 17 to something mm-hmm. teams
there's,
in Madden, you know.
Yes.
Like it's not even 20 yet.
I believe there's 32 teams in the NBA, and I believe right now they have 24.
Oh, it did cross the 20.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
I think it's 20.
There's 21 currently in NBA 2K, if that's what we're thinking of. But,
yes, NBA 2K League 21, yes.
Fortnite Pro-Am featured both Josh Hart and Reggie Jackson.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, kind of going through this, it's talking about specifically so what some of the favorite games are of these players. Because I would assume that they probably all like to play, you know, your Maddens or your NBA 2Ks and stuff like that. But Andre Drummond of the Pistons, his favorite video game, he's actually into like story-based open world games.
Oh, that's
and,
cool.
And his favorite is actually Grand Theft Auto 5.
I believe it.
And he's currently,
it.
Apparently, really into the God of War game.
Okay.
Oh, that's what's up.
See, listen, now, I can totally see, especially for anybody who has a kid, any dad, if you will, getting into God of War. Because, I mean, if I showed my dad that game, and he's just like, he's all in. So I get it. That's a logical thing to me.
And I mean, you know, this is not the first time that, you know, this kind of stuff has kind of crossed over either. Of course, you had Juju Smith-Schuster streaming mm-hmm. with Ninja about a year ago. You know,
and Drake.
Andre, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, video gaming is mainstream. I think if there was any question about that, you know, just look at how many people came out to the Arthur Ashe Stadium, you know, for the Fortnite World
That's
Cup.
Right.
You know, how many people are coming out for, you know, things like the OWL Finals and stuff like that. There is real mainstream interest in this world. And, you know, people are still trying to kind of wrap their heads around, you know, this new paradigm of getting paid professionally for video games.
Well, I think what I find most fascinating about this is this is normal now, right? Celebrities and athletes coming out and saying that they play and enjoy video games. We go back, 13, 14 years when World of Warcraft was big, and the idea of a celebrity playing something was a novelty. It was a chance to market something. Yeah. That was it. Oh, yeah, Mr. T plays video games. Cool.
Right.
No one really cared or probably even actually believed it.
Yeah,
but
no,
it was also
and also Mr. T definitely was not playing.
But it was
World
also
Warcraft.
A way for a lot of people, and there were a lot of celebrities who began to sort of create, you know, cult followings around themselves because they just so happened to play video games.
On the total 100% opposite side of that coin, you had someone like Mia Kunis, who would in interviews talk about how much she was into playing WoW.
She did play World of Warcraft.
She actually did play World of Warcraft, but she never did a friggin' advertisement for him. You know what I mean?
Did she not?
I don't think she did.
But the thing is that, yeah, you began to have sort of a different exposure to a different, you know, sort of demographic because of the types of games you were into.
Right.
And so I think, you know, now that we're seeing streaming and all this other stuff be completely mainstream and accepted, that people are going to ask what's your favorite game in the same way that people used to ask what's your favorite book and movie. Yeah.
But I think that
but there is a Mia Kunis NPC in World of Warcraft.
I believe that. Yeah. But
Mila. You guys both said Mia. Mila Kunis.
I'm white, you know? I'm white.
Anyway, so the point being that, you know, this is gone from something that was, you know, kind of a nerdy thing to admit to and talk about, but now people are becoming famous by virtue of the fact that they play video games.
Right.
Well,
mm-hmm.
Tfue, Ninja, you know, Shroud, these guys,
disrespect.
Exactly, some of these guys are household names. Mm-hmm. You know, especially when you're talking about someone like Ninja, you know, to the point where this is not just like, oh hey, Skrillex mentioned in an interview that he's really into Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's no longer like, oh hey, Xavier Woods is famous because he's a wrestler. Skrillex is famous because he's a music artist, and they also have an interest in video games. That's also happening, but I think the way bigger deal here is the fact that people are becoming household names and finding a path to mainstream success and fame through video games. Like, that is remarkable.
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, when you allude to stuff like that, FaZe Clan, a really big sort of
huge name,
huge brand, if you will, esports brand. I don't want to call them just a team at this point. They're a brand.
Mm-hmm.
They had a meet and greet or event out in New York during the Fortnite World Cup the other week, and I mean, they shut that whole block down.
Like, yeah. No. They shut 15 blocks down.
That event had to be shut down because of the sheer amount of people.
I had read that they had only planned on 100 people showing up. Come on.
Come on, buddy.
Come on.
I mean, listen, 100 is a dumb number, first of all, when you're FaZe Clan. That was stupid, and I don't think
that
was not a real number. I could understand if they said, we expected maybe 1,000, 2,000 folks.
Sure, yeah.
Nah, bruh. It was more than that from what we saw. And that's the thing, is that, Nate, what you're talking about, people becoming famous specifically for playing and streaming video games, this is the next step. In the same way that everybody wanted to be pro athletes in the sort of 80s and 90s,
sure,
you know, TV stars, then the 2000s came reality stars,
yeah,
and, you know, and rappers, you know, the things that, you know, youngsters wanted to aspire to and wanted to be, at least when it came to pop culture. And now you're starting to see them do that as, you know,
as
streamers,
gamers, man.
As gamers.
Yeah. I think that that's a really interesting point. We got to take a real quick break, but coming up next, I want to hone in on this point a little bit more, because I think we had a really interesting conversation with a young man just this morning that might be able to shed a little bit more light on this. That's coming up next on the Checkpoint XP podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP,
esports and gaming radio.
CheckpointXP.com.
We're back here on the Checkpoint XP podcast. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. We appreciate it. Again, CheckpointXP.com. If you've never been there, we've got a full offering of news articles. We try to keep that up to date as much as we can, but we've also got great opinion pieces by all of our hosts here on Checkpoint XP. So make sure that you go and check it out, CheckpointXP.com. Now, something that you had said just before the break that I thought was really, really interesting is that, you know, kids nowadays are moving away from wanting to be television stars, radio DJs, even stand-up comedians. And, you know, now when you have this kind of new dichotomy where comedians like Bo Burnham are using Vine, thank you. Yeah, Vine. Used Vine to become, you know, more discovered. When you have modern celebrities that are coming out of the YouTube and Twitch world, you know, this is a very different world than all of us grew up in. I was taking classes as young as 16 years old to study the art and craft of radio. And now all of that is changing, where the interest is being driven by young people wanting to learn how to be on YouTube and on Twitch. And I think that that is so fascinating, because I'm not sure, and this is probably, you know, very much my age talking here.
The answer is yes.
I'm not sure that if I would have been growing up in that same era, if I was growing up now, if I also would have wanted to still be on YouTube or be on Twitch. It's a completely different world. It is a different world, but maybe it's the idea that it is so accessible to do both of those things.
That's the thing.
That I really don't see. Like, I understand being successful at it is something to be admired. And listen, we're stabbing in the dark trying to figure that out. What is the, what's the right...
What's the formula?
Yeah, what's the formula to be successful on the platform? We're a player in this game, but I just don't know that as a kid that would have been the thing that really hooked me, that I would have really wanted to do.
You had mentioned the young man that we had into our studio earlier. One of the questions that he asked, I was afraid to answer truthfully. He had wanted to know where's a good college to go to for gaming and like YouTubing and stuff like that. And with his mom right there, I want to be like, you ain't got to go to college.
It's true.
It's true, but to a certain extent, and I think that's going to begin to change, though. And that goes to what Nate is saying, is that so many... Think about how many kids have gone to school for audio engineering because they had a bootleg copy of FL Studio at home, and they were making beats for their buddies and doing all this stuff very ad hoc, very underground. And somebody came along and said, hey, bro, why don't you just go learn how to do this for real?
Yeah.
And get paid for it for real.
Yeah.
And go work in a real studio for real. Like, that's the type of stuff where we talk about the logical progression and how, the sort of high school to college to professional pipeline with esports. That's not just about playing the game and being in front of the camera. That's the wholeness of the esports industry.
Sure.
And I think, as time moves along and as we talk more about this, is that you'll be able to see programs and kids, who pop up, who say, yeah, I want to go to, the University of Missouri and get a broadcast degree, or Northwestern and get a broadcast degree, but I want to use my broadcast degree for streaming. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, I think from a performance and hardware and knowledge standpoint, that kid may have a distinct advantage over a lot of other kids.
Well, and I think what you're going to start seeing is that, yes, you know, and I think that you're seeing a lot of that now. You're seeing a lot of people who went through college programs not designed for gaming that are taking the skills that they've learned and applying it to the world of either streaming or esports. You're seeing a lot of that. In fact, that's a lot of what's going on.
All of it.
Well, and that's
what's happening now.
That's what's, you're looking at that right now. That's exactly what is happening here. I went to school for 7 years to learn how to be a radio DJ, to build compelling conversations, to know what to say when it's time to open the microphone.
Yeah.
These are all learned skills and abilities that not everyone has the ability to do.
But even those don't guarantee you're successful in the space.
You're right. But the thing is I'm learning, I'm taking what I applied through my college courses for broadcasting and applying them to 100% different medium. I think the difference is going to come when those broadcasting classes start recognizing the validity of platforms like YouTube and like Twitch, and then start teaching how to be successful on those platforms.
Exactly.
Do you understand the how much more effective someone can be if they're given the tools to know what is successful? And part of the issue is that we're all out here with machetes trying to figure out what the path is. There is no clear path. No one has written the book. And now we're just waiting for someone to figure it out in a way that is replicatable.
And the thing is that
even when we get to that point, there will still be people,
of course,
that don't have to take that path, that are still end up like Ninja.
Of course, but that's, I mean,
there
that's
will
like saying,
always be those.
Yes,
people.
But there
I'm
will
aware.
Always be that
I'm
person.
Aware.
Just like there'll always be a LeBron James or somebody who's a genetic freak who's able to go come straight out of high school, smash on everybody, and be one of the best of all time, and not have to go through any of the other processes. Not to say that LeBron James doesn't work hard.
Right.
What I'm saying is there's a ton of other people who have done it the way that was laid out before everyone else in order to make those results replicatable. And I think what Nate is talking about is having this infrastructure that allows kids to be able to pursue this as a legitimate career path. Because the more
and internally has been given the structure and validity to say, yes, this is something you
can
pursue.
And the thing is that for as much as we continue to consume this as a medium, the demand will never dwindle. So we will always need, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13 year olds to aspire to do this, so that, you know, when this show is long gone,
just a distant memory,
that there's something else right behind it to take up that space.
Well, and of course the strength to going through that path as well is, if you don't get to become the next Ninja, if you know if you're streaming up until you're 25 and nothing is actually happening, now what skills do you have? At least in this case, you do have other industries.
You have
that
other
you
marketable skills.
Yeah.
No. Well, let me ask you a question, because, you know, in the sports world, you know, we have this idea of like a once in a generation talent, right? You had
Jordan, Kobe, LeBron.
Jordan, Dr. J. You know, there's a long lineage of this in basketball that all kind of led to the lineage, the legacy that LeBron James is holding
line from Jordan to like Zion Williams.
Exactly.
Very direct.
Yes. Exactly. And you have that in a very direct way in sports. And my question to you is, you know, we're seeing a very high watermark that's being met by streamers like Ninja and Shroud and things like that. Do you think that the same kind of thinking applies to the streaming world, that there, you know, and this is also in the broadcast world, mm-hmm. right? Like there is only one Howard Stern, right?
Yeah.
Is there a once in a generation talent that exists for gaming and streaming? And does that same kind of dichotomy apply here?
I think so. I think
really
not necessarily in the direct line, but I think because the saturation of streaming and how much is consumed is going to be so widespread, especially in the next 5 years,
sure,
that you're going to be able to see, if not worldwide, but you are going to be able to see based by region, certain people who just emerge as amazing talents. I think Ninja is one of them. I think Shroud is one of them. And for as much as you can like or dislike them, I say Dr. Disrespect is one of them.
I don't think we've, here's my hypothesis. I don't think we've seen it yet. I don't think we've seen.
To the level of a Jordan, a LeBron, I agree.
Exactly.
No.
Like to the level of a Howard Stern for streaming, for this platform, for this world. No. There's a lot of people who are really trying. And I got to say, you know, names are in that conversation. You know, you've got Dr. Disrespect. You've got, and I hate to say it, PewDiePie was a part of that conversation for a long time.
Yeah.
You've got Ninja. You've got Tfue. You've got Shroud. No, and don't get me wrong, all of them are extremely talented. Mm-hmm. A lot of them bring a lot to the table. Ninja is a very likable, personable person. I don't think we've seen that Jordan or LeBron spot yet.
How do you measure it?
I don't know.
Is it views?
No, here it is.
It's one of those. I think it's one of those incalculable things that, like, you'll know it when you see
it. But here's what we have never seen. And I'm going to tell you what we have never seen. We have never seen somebody who is on the level of a Shroud or a Ninja then go over to the professional realm and dominate just as much. I think that is where you would begin to see it.
You're going to need that, but I think you're going to need something else.
And the mainstream
that is equally important is you're going to need the jump the other way into some kind of mainstream product that, you know, like movies, TV, like something like that,
like,
you know?
Ninja wins an Oscar.
But will we in the next generation, if streaming is as widespread as it is, will that have the same cachet as streaming? Will streaming have the same cachet as that? Will it matter? Will Ninja going to be on whatever, or the next Ninja going on to be whoever is the next Ellen, will that matter as much when you could have whoever that Ellen is on Twitch?
There's two factors at play here. There's one, you've either got to get a talent that starts to also appeal to my parents. And I'll tell you, my parents are not watching Twitch.
Well, your parents will be you.
I understand that's the other factor that's at work here, is that if everyone just ages out not having context for someone like that, right? But I still think that there is a wall between the way that people our age receive Ninja and the way that young people embrace Ninja, right? Like, I don't think that, like, if you asked who's your favorite streamer, Ninja's probably not going to be in that conversation.
We know him, but he's not our favorite.
No, right. But what I'm saying is that breakout talent is going to overwhelmingly be at the top of the list, whether you're asking someone who's 10 or whether you're asking someone who's 50.
I think that's
the difference.
Yeah, who's going
to
be?
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. No one's going to dispute that someone like Jordan, Kobe, or LeBron are the best of the best.
Right. Goals. Yes. They have equal appeal.
But there are people our age who will dispute that Ninja's the best of the
Correct.
Best.
Correct. Well, is absolutely. Because I used to watch, you know, what.
Ninja's real famous, but he's only 11th on most subs on Twitch. So is he really the best?
You know, like, oh, well, I used to see way more impressive stuff when I watched old school Counter-Strike back in the day. You know, like, there's a bunch of that.
But that has to happen. That's a part of why Kobe and LeBron were able to be become their own legends in the shadow of Jordan. That has to happen.
No.
That's the only way
I agree, because that kind of thing has to happen in a shadow. There is no shadow yet. Someone's got to create that shadow. Somebody's got to come in and make that high watermark. There have been a lot of really good high watermarks for streamers and for video games in 2019.
I'll ask you this.
I don't think we've seen it yet.
I'll ask you this. If Ninja would have qualified for the Fortnite World Cup, going on to perform well and win both all three creative duos and the solos.
Maybe for the Fortnite world, but I'm saying, like, it's got to be something bigger than just Fortnite.
It's
almost
got to
be bigger than streaming.
Even a name like Faker, that's still just in League of Legends.
Yeah.
I get what you guys are saying. It's got to be some. We've said that, though. We've said that before. Yeah. It's got to be who's going to be the first person to go from Overwatch to Fortnite to League of Legends to streaming and then on to something more mainstream and dominate all of them.
It's got to be someone so big.
It's going to be like an EGOT.
It doesn't matter what scene you're in, you know, and you recognize no one's ever going to be like.
It's got to be like an EGOT.
But then at the end of the day, after they do all that, they go and they do a voice on Finding Nemo or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's got to have that kind of wide appeal.
They're in Fast and Furious 12 going to the moon with Vin Diesel.
Shatters all records.
Please, no.
Ninja plays the AI voice in their car that can fly into space. See,
Ninja plays Jarvis.
But like, this is the next step, though. This is where, that's how someone, you know, your ninjas and Dr. Disrespects, that's how they hit that next echelon, is by doing stuff like movies.
You know who we saw this through, a very similar sort of pathway that we saw through this, is somebody like The Rock, right?
Yeah.
Somebody like The Rock is very much so that pathway, not necessarily in the video
that
game world, but somebody who
correct,
came
yes.
from a more obscure medium,
made his
wrestling,
fame wrestling,
made his fame in wrestling, transitioned to something more mainstream, and is now damn near untouchable.
Yes.
The Rock is damn near squeaky clean.
And
you
this
can put him in anything and it will sell.
This is that's the kind of mainstream exposure acceptance that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're not there.
Not there.
We're close.
We're not.
We're
there
getting yet. Close, man. Like, it. Every time one of these, you know, dudes rises up and has this big come up, I'm like, is this going to happen
is
now?
Is this the one?
Is this the one? For a minute. I mean, honestly, for a minute, I thought Pewds was going to do it.
And then
for another minute, I thought Ninja was going to do it.
We once talked about when Ninja, you know, was having all these celebrities on his streams and whatnot, the idea of him transitioning into like a late night show.
How cool would that be?
Sort of. Role.
Such a missed opportunity in my opinion.
It really is, because that's something that you could have obviously easily done on Twitch for your incumbent audiences. And then you could have also taken that and probably sold it to TV in some way.
You leverage it. You sell it to TV. I mean, you know what that is? That's getting coffee in cars with comedians.
That's exactly what that is.
But for gamers.
Yes.
And then you transition that into making it mainstream.
And honest question, who's saying no? Who's saying no to appearing on that show?
Not a person.
No one?
Not a person.
No one.
No one's saying no.
No.
So, I think we may be on the cusp. It could be
close. It's getting close.
Very close. I'll say this. I believe in the lifetime of this show, the very near lifetime of this show.
Oh, it'll happen. Gaming and esports is growing exponentially.
We will be reporting on somebody making that jump from the streaming world or from the esports world into the streaming world and then on to something even larger.
Totally.
And they're going to succeed at all facets.
Totally. And you know, things have to happen in a microcosm before, you know, macro changes start to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think things like Ninja signing the exclusivity deal with Mixer, you know, that's a big step in that direction. That's a big step in that direction.
That's a big deal.
I mean, there's a guy I follow on Twitter. His name is Coke Logic. He has been, you know, like, he does animations for Opie and Anthony and all kinds of other podcasts since then. I'm a big fan of his work. And he made a really, really great point. And that was Ninja signing an exclusivity contract to Mixer is essentially the same sort of shakeup that Howard Stern leaving for Satellite Radio had.
Same thing.
It's essentially the same thing.
Completely is legitimizing the platform.
It legitimize, yes, and that's what Mixer needed, right? Like, Mixer holding like 3-6% of the eyeballs out there needed a way to get more eyeballs, and I'll tell you, they're now the number one most downloaded app on the App Store. I want to say that's for Android. I'm not sure if that's 100% for Apple as well, but I mean, it's impressive the turnaround that this brand has had. It is a total
quick
coup.
Quick update on Ninja over at Mixer. He is now over 400,000 followers, so
he might fuck around, hit a million for the end of the weekend.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, he's being put on some of the biggest stages.
And
he's almost up to 2 million total views.
And if you
not concurrent
say,
viewers
I know not
total
concurrent
viewers.
But if you could say to any streaming platform in the world, sign this person to an exclusivity deal, I guarantee you a million people in a weekend. Who says no?
I mean, clearly, I think that Microsoft made a very good investment here.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
All
there
right.
You go.
we're going to leave the discussion right there. But we want to thank you for joining us, and make sure that you connect with us on social media. Let us know what you think of this. Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram. CheckpointXP.com is where you can find out more info about the show, interviews from past episodes, and a whole lot more. Again, that's over at CheckpointXP.com. And if you like the show, consider dropping by our Apple Podcast feed and giving us a rating and review. We'll read it right here on the show, we promise. Checkpoint XP is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. For the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and even though he's not here, Joe Sloan, my name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to the Checkpoint XP podcast. Make sure you subscribe to iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, tune into our weekly radio show. For more information and the latest on esports and gaming, go to CheckpointXP.com.